You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Thanks, Randy. Yeah, Saturday morning, my son Malachi was at Superstart all weekend, and Saturday morning around 9 o'clock, my phone started blowing up. All these pastors over Cincinnati that were at Superstart were like, dude, your boy's on stage. And I responded back. They didn't give him a microphone, did they? He had a good time. It was trick shots. They were doing trick shots. And so he was getting to do basketball shots. And he had a blast. And he came home with that great takeaway of, hey, anybody, it doesn't take somebody who can make trick shots. You can share the gospel, the good news with anybody. I love that. Great job by our children's ministry team. And so thankful for CIY, Christ in Youth, and what they do. So my name is Matt Robinson. I'm the lead pastor here. And today is the conclusion of our eight-week series, The Story of God. And while we've been going through the story of God, a lot of small groups have been going through the story of God, small group material. And it's been so neat seeing so many of you come in with your booklets as you've been going through weekly devotions, studying, learning about things week by week through Scripture with your groups, with your time, not just learning, not just better understanding the broad picture, the big picture of the story of God, but beginning to see that you are a part of this story and that we get to be a part of telling that story to others. Well, speaking of good stories, we all know a person like this. It's movie night. You get the movie picked out. You get the popcorn, whatever your favorite snack is. You get the butter to salt ratio just perfect on the popcorn, and you sit down. You know, my generation, we would put the DVD in. Now people don't have DVD players. Now they just stream it. You start the movie, and someone in the room goes, oh, do you think that's the bad guy? And you kind of like casually look over and you go, oh, I haven't seen this movie either. And then 5 minutes later, you go, oh, wow, you think they like each other? I don't know. I haven't seen this movie. A couple minutes go by. Who's that? Do you know who they are? No, I don't. I haven't seen the movie. And at some point, you press the pause button. You're ready to toss the whole bowl of popcorn, and you go, look. If you want to go online and read about the movie, you can read about the movie, and then we can watch it once you're fully prepared. We all know that, people. Maybe that's why they have popcorn being the movie food. Maybe it's good that it's not that and something heavier, more substantial, so that when you do throw that at the other person, it doesn't cause, like, you know, head trauma or something. Those are the types of people that are also the same types of person who, when they get a book, before they buy it or before they bring it home, they read the last page or they read the last chapter. You know, what are you doing? That's the end. That's going to ruin it. Well, I just want to make sure I'm going to like it. I don't want to spend my time on a story I don't like how it turns out. What? What? I think you're going to enjoy this story, this movie, if you wait and you just watch and see what's going to happen. A lot of us in life want to know what's going to happen. We want to know if we're going to like the ending of the story. And the story of God is the same way. A lot of us want to know what's going to happen. We would like to know what's going on with our lives or how our lives fit into the rest of the story to see if it's going to be worth it, if we're going to like the ending. Eric Geiger at Mariners Church, the church that started the Story of God series, he tells a story about how his daughter would eat vegetables during their meal or eat dinner that she didn't like, but she would set out the dessert. She would say, Mom, Dad, go get the dessert. And she would look at the dessert and eat her vegetables. Okay, if I can see where I'm going, I can stomach this green nonsense. If I can just see where we're going, you're able to better endure present hardships when you know the good stuff that awaits at the end of something. all of us go through pain in life. All of us experience the pain, the mess of living. And it's hard to persevere. How do we persevere? How do we last without talking through the whole movie of going, does anybody know how this story is going to end? This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul was saying that our present troubles don't even hold a candle to the good things that God has in store for us. That our present troubles don't even compare to what Jesus has in store when he makes everything whole again. And today, that's what we're talking about. Today, we're talking about a better beginning. We're talking about a story that the ending is better than the perfect beginning that we started with. Let's bring up the timeline side real quick. We can look at kind of the ground that we've covered. We started off with the creation and the fall. God made everything and it was good. And then we messed it up. Mankind messed it up. And then right from the beginning, there was a promise. God went to Abraham and he said, hey, I am going to bless all people through you. And he began to have a people. And then they went to Egypt and they became enslaved. And God once again stayed true to his promises and rescued them and made them even more a people and began drawing them to the promised land. And that's where they flowed into this land and kingdom. But this kingdom full of kings didn't last for long. And they experienced great suffering before Jesus, the fulfillment of God's promises, the red thread that brings this whole story of God together, shows up and began to make the plot of the whole story make sense. And last week, we talked about this new people. That's where we come into the story of God in the biggest way throughout all of this is that we have the opportunity to go to work with God. We have the opportunity to serve with him and fulfill the mission that he's given us. And today, what we're discussing is the end being better than the beginning. A time is coming where God's people, people from every tribe, tongue, and nation who have been rescued by God will enjoy him and his rule forever in perfect harmony. Satan will be crushed, the effects of sin will be reversed, and all things will be made new. Today, we are going to look at the end of the story. We're going to be in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. But at the very beginning, I want to compare the end of the story with the beginning of the story in the book of Genesis. First, the beginning, Genesis 2, 8 through 10. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. So you got that picture in your mind? Genesis 2, describing the garden, where things were, the tree of life, the river that was watering the garden. Now the end of the story, Revelation 22. This is describing heaven. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. There's some very similar images in both those stories. In Genesis and Revelation, there's some similarities. Both of them have the tree of life. There's this tree there in the garden, and there's this tree in Revelation chapter 22. The tree of life feeds Adam and Eve in Genesis 2, and then in Revelation 22, it feeds every tribe and every nation. All the people have been brought to this place, and it's sustaining them. In the beginning, the tree of life is sustaining Adam and Eve. But in the end, it's healing. In Revelation 22, the tree is bringing healing to all people. In Genesis chapter 22, or Genesis chapter 2, there's a river that waters the garden. And there's a river in Revelation 22, and that river waters everything, and it says there's no curse. Things have been made whole. Genesis chapter 2 says Adam and Eve steward and watch over the garden. In Revelation 22, we are stewarding with Christ over all things. Genesis 2, Adam and Eve enjoy God in the garden and the temple. In Revelation 22, we get to enjoy God forever. Everything is perfect before sin, but it's different here in the end. It's not just perfect before sin. In Revelation 22, it's not just restored, it's made better. Creation starts off perfect, and like we just read, it's going to end perfectly. But here we are in the messy middle. Here we are in between these two pictures of perfection, looking forward to a better beginning, but it's not here yet. Listen to more of what Revelation says, Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." As we live and deal and put up with and endure the messy middle, this picture just gets more incredible of the better beginning that is in store, that is ahead of us. And it gets even more incredible. Listen to later in the chapter, verse 22, what it says. Don't miss this. "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Every square inch of heaven is covered by the presence of God." In the series earlier, we talked about how in the beginning, God was with Adam and Eve, and then God's presence rests within the tabernacle that Moses made, and then in the temple that Solomon made, but then Jesus made it possible for his presence to be within us. And now, in this better beginning, we see that in heaven, God's presence is in all things. I want to dig in a little deeper on this. Four things about heaven that make it a better beginning. How is the end better? The first thing is the nations are gathered. In everlasting paradise, every group is represented. This is one of the reasons that we have the Great Commission. This is why we support local and international mission partners, why we don't just become a holy huddle, but we say we need to share God's love with other people. It's because in heaven, we want all people to be there. We want every group to be represented. Jesus is pursuing the world to come to know him. I'll tell you right now, if you don't like the idea about being around other ethnicities, around other cultures, you might want to get ready for heaven, because there are going to be so many cultures, so many ethnicities, so much diversity in heaven. I remember when Zeke, my oldest son, was like 3 years old. I went with a group from our youth group up to Columbus to serve with one of our mission partners, and we did a soccer camp. If you've seen me play soccer, you know that's pretty funny in itself. But we did this soccer camp, and so we went to a kind of rough part of Columbus where they would really benefit from the soccer camp, but we went there because it had a huge immigrant population. And you might not be aware of this or not, but the Somali population in Columbus is huge. It's one of the largest Somali populations in the U.S., and so as part of this, we're letting all these people in these apartment complexes know about this soccer camp. So I've got a couple students with me. I've got Zeke with me, and he's just kind of right at my hip, kind of walking with me, going with Dad to work. And we're going door to door just saying, hey, we have a soccer camp that we'd love for your kid to take part of. And a thunderstorm popped up. And so we're knocking on these doors, and in between houses, we're just getting soaked. We knock on one door, and this Somali man answers. His family's in there, and we say, hey, we're doing this soccer camp. He looks at the weather outside, and he goes, please, come in, come in. And he hears more about our heart of what we're doing, knows more about where we're coming from, what we're up to. And what we didn't know was that the man had his Somali restaurant there in Columbus. And he said, please sit, I'll be right back. And so he left. And so we're there playing with his kids and hanging out with his wife. And he comes back and he's got four big, massive trays of food. And there's only four of us. And he had brought back, I mean, just the whole spread from his restaurant. Fresh rice, hot, fresh bread, olives, cheese, goat meat. And it was all delicious. And so there we are, shoes lined up in a row by the front door. Just torrential rain outside. And the guys that I'm there with from the youth group and Zeke are kind of wide-eyed because they didn't expect to have a meal while we were going door to door. And as we filled up our plates and filled up our stomachs and got to know this family, I thought to myself, this is what the wedding feast in heaven is going to be like. I might not have chosen the menu. I might not have expected what it was going to look like or known everyone that was going to be around the table, but this is what it's going to be like. Different than I expect, more than I expect. And we're going to get to see the beauty of God's creative abilities in seeing just all the different people that he's brought to the table that reflect his image. The nations will be gathered, and it will be incredible because every human reflects the nature of God. It's going to be a better beginning also because the curse is reversed. We live in a world impacted in every way by the brokenness of sin. I called it earlier the messy middle. And that's so abundantly true. You don't need to be told that we live in a world made more complex by the brokenness of sin. But in heaven, it's going to be better. There are going to be jobs and careers that we don't have any need for in heaven. We're not going to need morticians in heaven because people aren't going to be dying there. We're not going to need doctors in heaven because we're not going to be getting sick there. We're not going to need trauma counselors because it says God will wipe every tear from our eyes. We're not going to need soldiers. We're not going to need Bible teachers. I'm excited about this. It says here that, because we know in part, we will know in full. It says that we will be made like Jesus in heaven, be made whole. So in heaven, I'm not going to have to explain God's word. I'm not going to have to look at it and go, oh my goodness. I'm just going to be able to go, hey, God, can you explain this to me? He's going to give this knowledge to me. So, Bible teachers, get ready. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? I'm excited. I've got a list going of things that I'd like to try out. See if I'm any good at those things. Number three, evil is destroyed in heaven. This better ending, this better beginning, evil is destroyed. Satan is cast into the lake of fire. He's removed from the equation. Satan is not able to influence us and tempt us at all. Everlasting hell is where Satan is going to be held, and those who have not placed their faith in Jesus, and where the cup of God's wrath against sin is eternally poured out. It's something, honestly, that a lot of people wrestle with when it comes to faith, because they think, okay, I like the idea of Satan being in hell. There's a list of people that I think, okay, they deserve to go to hell. Just the awful, the most worst of the worst. But that's honestly something that a lot of us have a check in our spirit about. Wait a second. Tell me more about this place. Who goes there? Tormented forever? How does that make sense? Consider this. Jesus experienced immense torment so that no person, not you or me, anyone we come in contact with, would have to face torment. He took the cup of God's wrath so that we might escape it. And so as we consider this place that we're okay with Satan or people that we consider evil going, and we wrestle with the reality of other people going there, we need to also recognize that Jesus went out of his way so that no one would have to go that way. He grabbed victory from the hands of evil. But three, the reason it will be a better beginning is that evil will be destroyed. And the fourth thing, Christ is enjoyed. Heaven is ultimately because Jesus is there. Let me say that again. Heaven is ultimately heaven because Jesus is there. And this is a big point for this morning. Heaven isn't a place for people who just don't want to go to hell. It's for people who have been rescued by Jesus and enjoy Jesus. If you came to me, or maybe, you know, it'd be more likely if my wife came to me and she asked me, Matt, would you rather take a list of errands and go run around town and run errands all day? Or would you rather work on cleaning the basement and the garage? I might choose the basement and the garage, but it doesn't mean that I like the basement and the garage. It just means that I like one of them more than the other. Some of us don't like vegetables. If I told you to pick between two vegetables, doesn't mean you love one. It means just that you're choosing one over the other. If I'm choosing between heaven and hell, heaven is most definitely preferred. Yeah, I'll take the place that isn't a place of tormenting. But don't walk away with an understanding of heaven just as a means of escaping punishment, of escaping torment. Heaven is for people who are excited about Jesus' rescue and love the idea of being with him. When was the last time you considered what you're excited about for heaven? I joked earlier that there won't be any need for Bible teachers in heaven. I honestly am excited about an eternity being able to learn things and do things for the glory of God. Here on earth, we try and do everything and redeem everything so that it serves this eternal purpose. We're trying not to labor and toil and not experience the fruit of our work. But in heaven, we get to learn and do and practice. And all of it will be this amazing offering of worship to Jesus. And we will be with Jesus. Are you excited about spending eternity with God? Because it is. It's a better beginning. I like the way that C.S. Lewis describes heaven in the Chronicles of Narnia series. He talks about it looking a lot like where we live now. The beauty of creation, the Grand Canyon, the most amazing national parks, but better. That there's something more to it, something deeper to it. And I think ultimately what he was getting at was God's presence. It's a better beginning because we are made whole and we are with God. And so that's the story of God. The story of God that's told through Scripture that we experience in life is that he lovingly created us. We wandered away from him, but he never gave up on us. And even right after we wandered away from him, God promised he would redeem us. And Jesus is that fulfilled promise. And we know that Jesus will complete this at the end of the story. And that's why we can hold on in the messy middle, because we know that God is not done with his story yet. We can live in the messy middle because we know the better beginning. We know the glorious ending. We're going to enter into a time of communion. And as we enter into this time of communion, If you're new here, if it's your first time here, we've got communion in little bags at the black tables around the room. When I was a kid and we would go places, it was hard going places that you had never been before. You would ask your parents, I would ask my parents in the back of our car, how long? And they would say, a Sesame Street and a Mr. Rogers. That was before you could have screens and in cars. But that gave me an idea of how long I needed to hold on. I think it's a little bit harder in this moment of longing for heaven, longing to be restored. We say, how long, God? The psalmist wrote about that all the time. How long till we are made whole? How long till we are restored? And Jesus continues to tell us it's coming and it's a better beginning. I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus gave his followers communion. He said, don't forget, I'm getting a feast ready for you in heaven. The feasts we have here now are going to be smaller. They're only going to hold a fraction of what the feast in heaven is going to be like. But hold on, because the ending is going to be better. The ending's worth it. And so as you have the juice and the bread, remember that Jesus' sacrifice makes it possible for us to hold on, makes it possible for us to experience a better beginning. Let me pray. Lord, we come before you and we thank you that you have given us this better beginning, that we don't have to live here in this messy middle wondering, is it worth it, God? Because you are a God who keeps your promise. And the story of God is a story where you desire to be with us, where you love us, and you wish for all people to be restored. Thank you for making that possible through the love of Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.